to wash you. I'm ready to cleanse you and to take it all away from the beginning to the end. May that become to you and to your children increasingly the greatest wonder. Congregation, after the amen of baptism, we ask you to stand and to sing Psalter 425, stanza 5. While the children are brought in, we will sing from Psalter 48, stanzas 7 and 8. Both rich and poor, both bond and free, shall worship him with bended knee. And children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of his name. 7 and 8 of Psalter 48. Everlean, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Corneille Adrian, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Allen Verhoef, who were blessed with a well-born girl in this past week. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Wilt Thou affect the heart of each and every one of us therewith also in this very hour, for our eyes may behold the sacrament that Thou hast instituted, for the encouragement of Thy church to lay before Thee the need of their soul. O Lord, Thou knowest our sin. Thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest that we are, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Thou knowest that there is not one of us that is able to stand before Thee in judgment. Oh, who is able to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean? But Thou knowest also that we do not know, nor see, nor acknowledge, nor confess, nor humble ourselves because of our own sin by nature. Oh, then there is in our hearts no desire after Thee, and we see no form, we see no comeliness in Thy only begotten Son. O Lord, how that we need to be born again, how that we need to be wrought upon by Thy Holy Spirit for the first or by renewal. O, we beseech it of Thee, Lord, in this Thy holy day, and when we are gathered around word and sacrament, Thou who livest and Thou who reignest, Thou who hast ascended on the right hand of power, and who from Thy holy and high place art able to send forth Thy Holy Spirit to convert us and our children. O Lord, we beseech it of Thee, when we have commemorated it in this past week, that Thou would show now also unto us in a feeling, in a believing way, the truth of Thy power. Oh, that we may be given to experience it as a congregation, O Lord, that Thou wouldst raise the dead, that Thy Spirit may go out as heretofore, that it may go here in and out among us, both young and old, to convict us of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, to make us to smite upon our breast, and to cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And outside of thy Holy Spirit being sent forth from thy holy place, and then we shall all die as we have been born, and we shall have to curse thee forever and forever. O Lord, that thou wouldst not deal with us according to our many sins. O do give that this word and sacrament this day may be for the awakening of dead souls, and that it may be for the drawing of all our hearts together. O that it may be for the comfort of thy people, that they may receive a little light and a little assurance, that thou art so willing, despite all that they are and what they remain, to take away all their sin from the first and unto the last. Oh, thou hast cast it away, Lord. That is a wonder that we cannot comprehend, into that sea of eternal forgetfulness. Oh, as far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. Oh, give then a little eye to see it. O glorify thou thy dear and thy only begotten Son. Look upon these children and all the children of the congregation, also a new one that has been born in the days gone by. O give us humble hearts, and the parents also, for all thy gifts and blessings, strengthen mother and child alike, and supply for the future which is unknown to them and us. It could be a long life that is before her. It could be such a short life that is before her. But it makes no difference in respect to that great eternity. Oh, if thou wouldst convert us, O Lord, then we can live short or we can live long. But we shall actually live forever. Do remember, O young and old, wilt thou be with all those that have seen this sacrament so many times in their life. Thou knowest the hearts and all that dwell therein. And it could be even in this very hour that the hearts have gone out to thee in holy longings with a desire. O Lord, wilt thou wash me? Wilt thou cleanse me? Remember our uncle, he may commemorate his birthday in this day. Thou hast given him many years in this life, and thou hast brought him also up again unto thy house of prayer. Oh, do humble his heart also before thee, and bless him also with this blessing, both the desire and in actuality the forgiveness of all his sins. Remember all of us together. Do give us a blessing yet in this day in thy house. Do supply for all our needs also in the preaching of thy word. Strengthen us, O Lord, for this work. May it please thee more and more. Be thou in our midst for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 73, stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face. And I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Stanzas 2, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 73, and the last collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, and thereof the first part of the 14th verse. Thus Acts 1, verse 14, the first part. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. So far, the words of our text, which speak about continuance in prayer and in supplication. And we wish to consider this in two thoughts. First, the need for this continuance. And second, the encouragement to this continuance. Continuance in prayer and supplication, the need for this continuance, and second, the encouragement to this continuance. These all continued. Who were they? These all. We read, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren, these all. They were in one accord. Were they always in one accord? We think not. If we think of Levi when he was sitting before his calling at the receipt of custom. But also later on we read about the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read, neither did his brethren believe in him. And now we read that they also, his brethren, they are in one accord. Do you believe in him? Or are you yet outside of those who may believe in him? Then it is still possible and that we are also brought into one accord. Is that also your desire? That you may be in one accord to believe true with true faith in him? How did it go for those brethren of Christ that they are brought into that one accord that was not in a way of increasing more and more to the throne of Israel, but it was in a way of decreasing, in a way of affliction, if it was in a way of trial and a way of persecution, that also his brethren, they are brought to believe in him. One accord we read in prayer and supplication, that is an special blessing. Why we read in God's word that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And then in a special way, when they may be in one accord in prayer. Why? Because the Lord says that where two of you may agree as touching anything that they may ask, they shall receive it of his Father. Thus, that is an especial blessing to be in one accord also, parents, one accord for the most necessary blessings for our children. In prayer, then we feel a certain weakness. That is why we pray. We feel a certain poverty that is inherent in prayer, a certain lack, a certain missing that is inherent in prayer. And yet prayer that is most powerful. Why? Not because of us, but because of Him to whom that we pray. Thus, union in supplications that is according to his will, that is according to His command, that is given by Him, it is a gift of Him, that is also blessed by Him, and it is answered by Him. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. What is that to pray? Do you know, children? What is that to pray? Say that is to draw near to God. Do you believe that? Are you reverent? Do you fold your hands and do you close your eyes? And are you reverent when you pray? When you draw near unto God? In His majesty, in His justice, in His righteousness, but also in His love, and in His mercy, and in His grace, prayer. But we read here not only of prayer, but we read in one accord in prayer and supplication. So what are supplications? Well, supplications, they speak about a certain want, a certain need that is felt. When we make a supplication, then we are asking for something that we feel our lack of, our poverty in, something that we are not able to provide for ourselves. Do you pray? Say, yes, I pray. In the morning, in the evening, mealtime, I pray. But do you supplicate? Do you have a supplication? Do you have a need? What pray you for? Do you feel something of a need? Do you have a poverty? Do you miss something? Do you feel your weakness? Are you not able to provide for yourself in that desire that is living within your heart? Do you supplicate? These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They continued. What does that mean? To continue. Well, in the original language, this word that speaks about adhering to something, to stick close to something, to be very devoted to something, to persevere. That is, to go on and on, that a person does not faint. What makes it necessary to continue in prayer and supplication? You say it's delay. It is the postponement of the blessing that I desire. Do you continue? Do you continue in prayer and supplication? Do you persevere? Do you go on? Why? Well, because you say, I have not yet received it, what I beseech of the Lord. How long have you continued in prayer and supplication? How long did they continue in prayer and supplication? Well, they continued for 10 days, because, children, then you know that it was 40 days that we commemorated this past Thursday, 40 days after the resurrection. that the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, and that it was 50 days after the resurrection, and that the Lord Jesus sent the Spirit of the Lord from heaven on the day of Pentecost. So from 40 days to 50 days, they were these 10 days that all these continued in prayer and in supplication. You say, I have been continuing much longer than 10 days. I have been praying for many weeks, for months. I've been praying for years, maybe. There are those of us who have become old. Old under the preaching of the Word of God. You say, maybe I have been praying for so many years. Continuing in prayer and in supplication. Why does the Lord wait? We read that so often in the Word of God. Why is that? Why does the Lord wait? Why does the Lord not give it to His people immediately, what He promises to give to them? Abraham had to wait 25 years before the Lord gave to him that promised seed of Isaac. There are so many lessons that need to be learned by God's church. And many of those lessons, they are learned in the time of waiting. They are learned in that time wherein they must continue in prayer and in supplication. They must learn the value, they must feel the value of the benefit that they ask for. That must be lived in their life. They receive exercises in such a time in humility. There are lessons in self-abasement. Lessons in patience. James, he says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Continuance in prayer and in supplication. What is that? Actually, it is a mark. It is actually a mark of grace. Job's friends, they said to him, you are wicked. You're a wicked man. You are nothing but a hypocrite. Look what the Lord does to you. Look at your afflictions. Look at your trials. The Lord comes against you, and you pray to Him, and you have no answer. Does the devil say that also to you? You are wicked. Not only look at your life, Job, he was a perfect and an upright man, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Thus the devil, he says maybe to you, look at your life not only, but look now what the Lord brings on you, and you pray, and you supplicate, and you receive no answer. What was Job's answer? Job, he says, will the hypocrite always call upon God? Will he do that always? Will the hypocrite continue? He may pray, he may supplicate, but Job says, will the hypocrite, will he continue in prayer and in supplication? Will he continue to cleave? Will he continue to ask? Will he continue to beg? These all continue with one accord in prayer and in supplication. When did David stop praying? When the child died. And why? Well, then it became evident that what he prayed for, that was not something that the Lord had promised to him. It was actually the opposite. And it was evident that that was not what the Lord had willed for him or for that child. The Lord said to Joshua, why do you pray? Why are you lying there on your face, praying, supplicating to me? Get up. And why? I cannot answer you. Because there is sin in the camp. And when there is sin in the camp, then first that sin that has to be taken out of the way. Thus, delay indeed must bring us to self-examination. Is there a cause that there is no answer? Does it lie in me? What is my walk before the Lord in this world? Am I upright? Am I honest before the Lord? Do I confess actually the bosom sin of my heart? It must bring us, the delay must bring us indeed to self-examination. That delay must bring us indeed to repentance, to turning from our sin unto the Lord. But that delay must not bring us to ceasing to pray unto the Lord. That is, when we ask those things that are according to his will. You say, how do I know? If I ask what is according to his will. And we see that in our second thought, the encouragement to this continuance. In what prayer and in what supplication was this entire company in accord? What were they praying for? You know that, children? What were they praying for? Well, they were asking for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as took place 10 days afterwards. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why did they ask for this? What made them pray just for this thing? And what gave them any hope, what gave them any expectation that they should receive what they were asking for? Well, that is the promise of Christ. That is not something they have derived out of their own mind, but it is something that Christ himself has promised that he was going to give to them. Thus we can read that already before his death, that he spake to his disciples and said that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go away, I will send him unto you. And just before that he ascended, we heard that the disciples, they are asking the Lord Jesus if at this time he would restore the kingdom to Israel. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that God hath put in his own power. But he says, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Thus we understand where this encouragement of the disciples of this company is coming from to pray for this blessing. They are encouraged because it is something that was promised unto them. The Lord Jesus himself, having spoken of it, they have a good basis for their prayer, for their supplication. And because they have a good basis for it, they have also a good hope for it. They have an expectation for it. Upon what do they rely? They rely upon the attributes of him who spoke that promise. Thus, it is a prayer of faith. Why? Because he cannot lie. Because he is God. Thus, they rely on his faithfulness. They rely on his truth, his veracity, that he is who that he is, and that he cannot change himself nor his word. Thus, that is in the first place that it is a promise, and because of that promise, they are encouraged to continue in their praying. But we do not read only about praying. No, we read also about a supplication. And a supplication, we said, that is what? Well, that supplication that is arising from a need that is living in their heart. There's not only a promise that comes from the outside, but there is a supplication. There is a felt need that is living in their heart that was experienced also by this company. What was the need that they felt? Well, there was a time that the Lord Jesus said to the disciples that he would go away and their hearts would be sorrowful. And then he said that he would come again and then their heart would rejoice. And now, and that was, of course, when the Lord Jesus went into death, they mourned, and when he rose from the dead, then they rejoiced. But what about now? Because now, we read that the Lord Jesus, he is ascended into heaven. 3 years they have walked with him, and they needed him. They needed him for everything. You hear that? With every trouble, is that us too? With every trouble, with every question, then they were immediately at the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they will feel something. They will feel a loss. Is that not true? For our widows, for our widowers, for all those that mourn. And what then do you need? What do you feel that you need? There's not someone that tells you that you need that. it is something that you experience in your own life, then you say, that is a people, they need comfort. That is so. Thus, this company, they need that comfort. He is gone. He is departed from them. They are separated from him. And thus they experience then this need. The disciples, they are also, they have work to do. They have to go to preach. How would that be if you had to preach? It's one thing to have to preach even today, but if you had to preach as they had to preach, there was only a few of them, then how would that be? The disciples, they felt a need. They felt their ignorance. So what did they need? If they have to go out to preach, immediately before the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, they are still asking if he is going to restore the kingdom to Israel. They are still looking for a natural kingdom. Those men, they had already been sent for two by two. How ignorant that they were. There were so many things that they did not yet understand about the kingdom of God and of Christ, of that salvation of Christ. And shall now, now they go forward and Christ be away? Then you understand that with the command, then they feel such a great, great need. And not only so, but they feel the enmity. Christ says, you begin in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Well, they were aware, fully aware, their doors are locked. They're aware of the enmity that was against Christ in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then what shall it be through all the ends of the earth? Have they power? Have they power against all the enemies of Christ? Have they power to convince a man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? Have they power to raise the dead? Have they power to give an enlightened understanding to all this multitude of people, whether that they are heathens in their worship of the idols or living in the hypocrisy of their religion? There was a need. There was a felt need. Thus we read these, all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication. And they are encouraged by what? They are encouraged by the promise, yes. But there is more. Because when the Lord gives a promise, then he does not just speak in the air. Many people, they speak about the promises, young people, but they do not know what to do with those promises. What does faith experience? Faith that experience, because we said it is a prayer of faith, and that prayer of faith that experiences a suitability, a blessed suitability between that felt need and the promise of the Lord. It is that felt need that is living, truly living in their heart day by day, that is making that promise of the Lord so sweet to them. And that is now the sweetness that is missing in those who pray but who have no supplication. No, they do not receive it immediately, but they cannot let the Lord go except He bless them because of that need. What does now congregation, that church, want? Well, they want what they lack. What do you want? What do you seek? Well, that church wants what it cannot produce in itself. They want power in their religion. They want a religion that is more than notion. Something must be known, they say. Something must be felt. I want to know that. I want to feel that in my own heart. And these, they continue. They continue in prayer, not only, but they continue also in supplication for what? For the Spirit of the Lord. That the Lord would come, that the Lord would breathe life into my soul. That I would not be so dead in the midst of this world. That I would not be so tied to everything that is in this world. That I may see, that I may feel, that I may hear, that I may breathe, that I may do. What do they want? They want to feel sorrow. They want to feel grief for their sin. They say with Jeremiah, "Oh, that my head were waters and that my eyes were a fountain of tears, if I could only weep and weep and weep." Oh, they want what? They want that they could smite upon their breast every day again, over and over. Because of how vain that they are, because of how evil that they are, because of the carnality of their heart that they are carrying with them, that it would be a more of a grief to them as they are walking over this world. Therefore, they are continuing in that prayer and supplication to say, "O Lord, make it right in my soul." What do they want? They want to feel something of the holiness of that law of God. They know it is holy. They know it. But they also want to feel it. They want to walk as if it is truly holy. They say, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes always, every day, that I might not wander away from thy commandments." Then they need the Spirit of the Lord for this. What do they want? They want instruction, because they feel that ignorance. The lack of the knowledge of God. That their eyes would be opened. The eyes of their understanding. That it may be enlightened. That they may see something of His salvation. What do they want? They want faith. Oh, they want to be able to believe. They want to feel the liberty of faith. They want to feel and experience the peace of faith, the rest of faith, which they are not strangers, perhaps, of in their own life, and they may hear that Church of God speak about. Some will only wait so long for faith. Only so long. They will pray. They will pray and they will ask. And then they will say, "I think I do something wrong. I do something wrong. I don't have it." Why? The time goes on. There is a delay. Do something wrong. There may be those all right to say, "Well, it must be something that you do. You just as the natural faith. So is the spiritual faith. And so man takes it with his mind. But remember, young people, Abraham prayed He supplicated for 10 years. And then he thought, I do something wrong. Maybe I need myself to be busy. Maybe I need to do something myself. Maybe I need to help the Lord somewhat. And so he took Hagar. But Ishmael was not the promised child. What do we read here? We read, these all continued in with one accord in prayer and supplication. Were they put to shame? Next week, if the Lord spares us, we hope to hear that. They were not put to shame. The Lord does not put such a prayer to shame. What does the Lord promise to such people? Well, he says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you feel something of the blessed suitability of that promise of comfort to those that mourn? Do you mourn? Is sin for you truly a burden? Is such a promise sweet to you? That you one day, the Lord says, will also be comforted. If you are also one of those that mourn, then what does the Lord say? He says, go on. Go on. Continue. Continue in prayer and supplication. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is that ever sweet to you? Do you ever feel that suitability between that promise of the Lord and that which is living in your own heart, that hungering, that thirsting after righteousness? Then go on. Then go on. Continue in prayer and in supplication. What is the promise of the Lord, parents? What is not a promise of the Lord? All our parents. The promise of the Lord concerning the children. He says, I will do it. I will work in the congregation. I will work among the generations of my people. Is that your need? Is that your supplication? Do you feel something of the sweetness of such a promise? But also the suitability for your own family, for your own heart? Then go on, parents. Then go on and continue in prayer and in supplication, because he is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it? Shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, humble our hearts under thy goodness, and give us also, and when we are among those that wait, that we may continue. O Lord, then it can be that we are among those that pray, but have no supplication, no need, and no felt lack. We miss nothing except all that is in this life. Oh, grant us then such a prayer and supplication as we have heard of in this hour. as thy word does speak of, and wilt thou give a continuance to those that are waiting. Oh, give them a little encouragement, that they may feel the suitability, that they may feel the sweetness, that they may taste the preciousness, and that thou wouldst do what thou hast promised. For Jesus' sake, amen. 210 stanzas 1, 4, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted I sought for light. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 210.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.